Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today. In this edition of A&M Conversation With, Steve Goldstein, a senior advisor at A&M and author of Why Are There Snowblowers in Miami, sits down with Dennis Picard, Managing Director of Corporate Performance Improvement, in an ongoing series to discuss his five principles of engagement. Today, they will be talking about fresh eyes, learning to adopt an outsider's perspective to create new insights and begin the transformation process.
Hey, Dennis. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're welcome. So let's get right into it. What's the first conversation you have with leaders when you're brought in, you know, to start a project and establishing the game plan using your fresh eyes approach?
Well, Steve, I think the first thing we try to do is understand what their objectives are. What are they trying to accomplish? And then very closely after that, why haven't they done so already? Most organizations have a lot of talent. If leadership knows what it's trying to accomplish, you would expect that it gets done. And in order to solve whatever the problem might be, it's helpful to understand, well, what have they already tried to do that maybe wasn't successful? And what other activities might be undertaken to achieve that success? And so we try to understand that, get a context, and then head off in that direction.
That makes sense. So as you go, as you start the project, and as you start going throughout the company interviewing folks in the organization, how do you use that information and process that information to give you insights as to how to shape your work?
Well, you start by, as you said, interviewing people and getting a fact base. And I think having a clear, objective statement of facts as to what's really going on is an essential starting point to making any kind of progress. Because in many organizations, people get confused by assumptions, by beliefs, by, in some cases, myths. So in one case, actually, we had an acquired company, desperately arguing to keep its own information technology because the costs were less than half of what the acquiring company did. When we got past the emotion into the, well, how do you know that? They knew that because they read it in a magazine article that company spent 8% of sales on IT.
Oh, nice.
The magazine article, we don't know where they got their information from, but the real answer was the acquiring company spent 2% of its sales on IT, not 8. And yet people were completely wrapped around the axle that, you know, it's going to cost us 4 times as much. And that just simply wasn't true. But try telling that to the people that believe it until they see the real facts.
And how did they react when they were shown the facts?
Initial reaction was denial. That can't be true. And we said, you know, we just went through the conversation until we determined that, well, nobody really knew where the magazine got its numbers from. Maybe there was a chance that the magazine was wrong as opposed to the people that actually knew what the budget of the acquiring company were.
Well, sometimes I found that when I talk to people lower down in the organization, what they tell me is often at odds with what I hear from the leaders who have, you know, brought us in for a project. And what I've also found is they tend to be right because they're the ones who are actually doing the work and talking to customers. Yes. So when you encounter that situation, how do you deal with the disconnect between the various levels in the organization and what they tell you they believe to be the case?
Well, again, great question. I think facts, getting to facts is helpful here too. And it's really a case of keeping it objective, keeping the emotion out of it, and helping the senior executives understand end-to-end what's happening. So a case in point that comes to mind is a healthcare technology company that we did some work with. The company, the challenge they were facing was the IT people could not keep up with customer requests for customizations and enhancements to the product. They had a lot of IT people. In fact, if anything, senior management was concerned that they had to cut costs. They didn't have enough, you know, money to hire more IT people. Frankly, they were probably overstaffed. All the benchmarks indicated they were overstaffed, but you had this disconnect between customers getting what they wanted
right.
And IT people. When we got into talking with the IT people in detail about what do you really do, we found that much of their time was going to developing tools that would allow the product to be shrink-wrapped, if you will, something you might buy in a retail store. Unfortunately, this business isn't at all a retail consumer-based business. It's all about, you know, business to business, very customized software. And when we highlighted that to senior management, the initial reaction was, well, that can't be the case because we know that. We said, well, okay, let us show you the facts and help you understand that. Once they understood that that was the case, they agreed that, yes, we have to redirect the IT resources to solve these customer problems as opposed to what we believe customers will want someday. We put in some performance indicators to help them monitor where time was going on a week-to-week basis, right, and give visibility to, you know, this is where the time is. The result was they were able to cut about a third of their IT spend because now all of a sudden there was a lot of costs that simply didn't need to be incurred on projects that weren't wanted.
So is this a case where the tail was wagging the dog and the lower-end customers were sucking up all the bandwidth of the IT people?
Well, it was a little bit of that, and it was also that in this case, the IT people were not as plugged into what the company's strategy was as maybe they should have been. And they were embarked on something that was technically interesting, but strategically unimportant.
So how do you use the Fresh Eyes approach to augment the fact base you collect and all the analysis you do with all the interviews and impressions you have with talking with the leadership group, both at the senior level and throughout the organization? Because you often get different, you know, sets of findings.
Sure. No, you definitely get different sets of findings. You in many cases, get opposing solutions,
right?
Where one side says do this, another side says do something else. We worked with a software company that developed technology. And the problem they were facing was around customer service. Customers would call the help desk, call the support desk, and ask for help. In some cases, they couldn't get through. In some cases, they got through, but not to somebody that could actually help them with their problem. And it was a growing issue. And the customer service people had decided that the answer was, can't hire more people because we can't train them fast enough and we can't probably afford it. So we're going to develop a multi-million-dollar artificial intelligence system that will, you know, take the call and magically solve the problem for the customer. Now, never mind that at the time this hadn't really been done before.
It sounded cool.
It sounded really cool. And frankly, the project was well over budget. The end was nowhere in sight. And I believe it was the CFO that called us in and said, could you take a look at this? Because he was concerned that, you know, what is the end here? As we got involved, one of the questions we asked was, well, who's making these calls? And it turned out that they had a lot of records, but they had never really sifted through them and looked at them analytically. And so we took records that existed, we interviewed folks, created a fact base, and the conclusion we reached was your biggest, most, you know, what should be the most highly valuable customers who are paying you a lot for support or on the current version of the technology are oftentimes the people that can't get through. And they're absolutely the people that are the most upset. And in many cases, they were taking their business elsewhere, which was a problem. And the people that are getting through are little customers that maybe haven't upgraded the technology in many years. Perhaps they were lonely and they found the customer service people nice to talk to, but they were taking up a lot of the capacity.
Right.
And so by working through that and suggesting that, you know, there'll be tiering of the customers so that customers that paid a lot get a premium service and customers that aren't staying current on technology, frankly, they either upgrade or you charge them what it's really costing you to support that technology. That was an answer that, frankly, nobody was even looking at. But once they started pursuing that, they immediately saw results that the valuable customers were becoming a whole lot happier because they were able to get through and ask their questions as they occur.
Yeah, sort of the scary part of that story is that neither the management team nor the people doing the work had a clue as to really what the source of the problem was. And until you did the analysis and got the facts and could demonstrate to them that they had these different tiers of customers, you couldn't get to an implementable solution that made sense.
That's absolutely right. I mean, hiring more people would not have solved the problem. And frankly, the technology, we don't know the technology ever would have worked. They eventually shot that project and ended it to stop the spending. especially once they put in the tiering, which was frankly a relatively low-cost solution that had results that occurred almost immediately.
Well, this has been great, Dennis. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your insights.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Steve.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.